Today she is Masech Bechul and Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We will begin Daf Kuf Yud Beis on the Beis, four lines from the bottom, Ramori Barachel. A concept that the Gemara has been repeating many times is that while meat is being piled, while meat is expelling dam, at the same time the meat cannot be bileya, it cannot absorb anything. In the Gemara, Mr. Sherman now and our Shir begins to discuss this concept a little deeper. Says the Gemara, Amari Baruchel, throughout Shas we have Amari Baruchel. Rachel was the daughter of Shmuel, who was captured by Akum, and one of the Akum was Isser Giyara, who married her, and Mari was conceived before Isser was Megayah, before he converted. Hayrasa Shalai Bekadusha, he was conceived while his father was not yet Jewish. Leidasai, but he was born, his father was already Jewish. And therefore, throughout Shas, he's called on his mother's name, Ramari Baruchel, not on his father's name. Says the Gemara, Ramari Baruchel, Imlech Leibasa Shkuta Bahadi Basa Treifa. Ramari Baruchel had kosher meat and non-kosher meat salted together in a Kaili Manukav, in a perforated vessel. And the question, as Rashi understands, that was concerning Ramari Baruchel is that, as I just said, when meat is expelling down because it's being salted, it wouldn't absorb down. However, here the concern wasn't about the dam that was coming out of the non-kosher meat. The concern was about the tzir, the juice that comes out of the non-kosher meat. And does this rule that we just said, that while it's expelling, it doesn't absorb, also apply to juice? That perhaps juice has the same halacha. That doesn't have the same halacha. And therefore, if the non-kosher and kosher meat together, even though it's expelling blood, it will absorb the non-kosher juice. Also, kameh the Rava. So he came with this question to Rava. And Amalei and Rava responded to him, HaTameyin, the Torah by the parish of Shrotzen says HaTameyin, Lesa Tziron, the Kosher tells us that the juice, the Roitvam, and the gravy, the Kippon is the sediment that settles on the bottom, small pieces of meat, small, and the spices, Shalhen, are all Aser. So, Rashi explains, the Gemara, that once we understand, once Rava tells us that Siron, that the juice of these Shrotzim are Osir, and everybody agrees that the juice of Shrotzim are Osir Medaraisa, it seems that everybody agrees that the juice of non-kosher fish is only Osir Medrabanan. And the question is, what will be the status of the juice of Nevelis and Trephis? But once we understand, says Rashi, that the juice is usur, so certainly the fact is that juice is more easily absorbed than blood, and therefore the meat will become usur because of the juice that gets absorbed into the meat. That's how Rashi learns. The Rashba takes issue with the pshat of Rashi, because the Rashba says that there was never a question that the juice of a non-kosher meat is also. And that's not what Rava had to come teach us, says the Rashba. Rather, the question that Ramari Baruchel had, says the Rashba, is that how do we treat juice? Do we treat juice the same way as we treat dam? And just like dam can't absorb while it's being expelled, so too will be the halacha on juice. Or is juice different? And how did Rava answer this from the Braisa? Says the Rashba. Because if the halacha were that juice was the same as everything else, so why does the Torah have to mention Tziron? Tziron should be included in the Roitvon. It's no different than the Roitiv. The fact, says the Rashba, that the Torah went out of its way to teach us the halacha of Tziron is to teach us this very halacha, that even though dam cannot be absorbed
while it's being expelled. That isn't the case regarding Reutfa. That isn't the case regarding Tziron, and the Tziron can be absorbed. That's how the Rashba explains the Gemara. Taisus asks a different question. Why do we need a Pasuk to teach us that Reutfa is Aser? Why should we not apply the concept of Tam Kikr? That we know that the Reutfa certainly has the Tam of the Basar, and we spoke earlier extensively that Tam Kikr is Aser. So according to Rashi, this question is not a question. Because Rashi actually, opinion is, that Tziron is only Aser. Rashi's opinion is that Tam Kikr is only Aser Midaraisa by Bas Becholov. And here we're not talking about Bas Becholov, that's why we have to have a special limit for Reuters. But Tysus's opinion is that we say Tam Kikr, according to Rava, is Aser Midaraisa by all Isurim. So why do we need this possible pasuk for Reutfa? So Taisu says two Turutsun. One Taisu says is that the pasuk is really coming to teach us the halacha of Tziron. Reutfa is only mentioned along with the pasuk, but the main point of the pasuk is really Tziron. That's one Taisu that Taisu suggests. Another Taisu that Taisu suggests is that if we only had the pasuk, if we didn't have this pasuk, we would think that only achila, only eating is asur. But we know that roitiv, as we said, is gravy. It's not eaten, it's a liquid. And therefore, perhaps it should have a different halacha. That's why we have to have this pasuk. Ask the Gemara, v'lemalei d'shmul, why couldn't Rav have answered Ramari Barachel's question from what Shmuel taught us? Dom Shmuel, Shmuel has taught us, meliach harei kriseach, that we saw two things together. It's like they're cooked. The kavur harei k'mashal. And when the pickle looks like it's cooked. So certainly if we're salting these two things together, isn't it considered that they're being cooked together? And if they're being cooked together, it certainly should be asur. So the Rishonim asked the obvious question. Rava brought a raya from a braisa, hatmeyim. So why would the Gemara say that the Rava should have preferred to bring a raya from what Shmuel and Amira says versus from what braisa? Answer the Rishonim. Absolutely. It's certainly preferable to bring a raya from a braisa than from what an amira teaches us. But say the Rishonim, that's only when the braisa is explicit. As we explain, the braisa isn't explicitly addressing Maria Baruch's question. It's only that from what the braisa taught us, that's how we know how to answer that question. Certainly under those circumstances, if there's a memra, there's a saying from an amira that explicitly addresses the issue being discussed, we would prefer to, that's a better source than just to learn something from a braisa, which isn't that explicit. And isn't this statement of Shmuel an explicit understanding to our question? Answers the Gemara, Igma de Shmuel, if we only had Shmuel's statement, have a mina hayal mina domin, as far as blood, that's where Shmuel says that they're considered as if they're cooked together. That Shmuel says that if somebody salts a piece of meat in a vessel that doesn't have holes, a cliche in a menukif, so that's where Shmuel says that the heat in that vessel from the salt will cause that the meat should reabsorb the blood that's in the vessel. However, when we're discussing the situation of the juice and the grave, the juice from the non-kosher meat going into the kosher meat, that isn't something necessarily Shmuel says regarding that Meliach Harei Kriseach Avot Tziron of Reut Alon. That's where maybe Shmuel's statement was never made regarding that question. Kamash Alon, that's why we had to bring the Raya from the Braisa. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in a braisa, Dag Tor Shemolchem Dag Tomei, if somebody salted a kosher fish and a non-fish kosher fish together, mutter. My love, isn't the braisa referring to a situation, Shoyu Shnei Meluchim? And yet we see that even though they're together, and there's a concern that the sear of the non-kosher fish goes into the kosher fish, yet it says that it's mutter. So the Gemara law,
is referring to a situation shetar meliach, the kosher fish was salted, the tamei tafel, and the non-kosher fish wasn't salted. And that's why there is no transfer from the non-kosher fish into the kosher fish. Ask the Rishonim. But if these two fish are in the same keli, and one was salted, and the other one is being touched by it, so doesn't that automatically salt the, doesn't that cause that the other one should be salted? So Rishonim offers a number of terutzim. One terutz is the simple terutz. They're in the same keli, but they're not touching. Or they're in the same keli and touching, but the part that where they're touching wasn't salted. Another terutz is that they weren't salted, they weren't in the keli long enough for the shia melicha. We're going to discuss there's a certain amount of time that they have to, for salting to be effective, that they have to be together. Here, they weren't there long enough for the salt to transfer. Or, another teretz, is that there was not that much salt on the place where they touched, and only a lot of salt causes that there should be a transfer of the juice from the non-kosher fish to the kosher fish. There's also interesting machloikas rishonim. Throughout halacha, we know there's a concept of tator gavar, that if you have one item on top of another item, so whichever item is the bottom one, we say is the more powerful one, it's regarding if you have Isra on top of Heter. And the question is, does the same halacha reply when we're talking about salted items, do we say the klal of tator gavar? It's machloikas rishonim. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that this Bryce is talking about a case where the kosher fish was salted and the non-kosher fish was not salted? Let's continue learning the Bryce. But Midatani says, for the sake of the Bryce, it says, Im hayitar meliach, the tamei tafel, if the kosher fish was salted and the non-kosher fish wasn't salted, that's when the Bryce of the second case says it's mutter. Mechlal, isn't that clearly indication that the ratio b'shnei meluchim askinan, that they're both salted? Because otherwise, what's the difference between the case of the ratio and the case of the sefer? So the more, that's not the way to understand the brisa. Rather, the way to understand the brisa is perushi kamafarish. The second case is explaining the first case. The brisa begins. Tor shemolchem dat tamei's mutter, says the brisa ketsa. When is that? Shaitar meliach the tamei tafel, when the kosher fish was salted and the non-kosher fish wasn't salted. And says the Gemara, Hachnan Mistabra, that's what makes sense how to explain this brisa. Disalkadaitach reishishnei meluchim. For if we're going to explain that the first case is when they're both salted, so then there's an obvious question. Hashtem shnei meluchim shari. If when they're both salted, the halach is when the kosher fish and non-kosher fish are salted, the brisa still holds its mutter. So why would there be a necessity to tell us a case of tar meliach v'tamei tafel mibaye? It certainly is fine. The fact that the brisa mentions both cases, it must be to come teach us that the second case, that the brisa is only speaking specifically where the kosher fish was salted and the non-kosher fish was not salted at all. Says the Gemara, im shemha, if that would be your entire raya, lo iria. That isn't a compelling proof. Because we could say, Tana Sefer L'Gluya Reisha. We could say that the Sefer is helping us understand the Reisha, clarify the Reisha. The Light Tamer. Because if I wouldn't have the second case, I would perhaps say that the Reisha is talking about Tor Meliach, the Tamei Tafel, that the kosher fish is salty and the non-kosher fish wasn't. Av Shnei Meluchim, and indeed, if both of them were salted, the halacha would be that they're Aser. That's why the Sefer mentions specifically the case of Tar Meliach for Tamei Teufel, to teach us, Bechlad the Reisha, to teach us the Shnei Meluchim, and not make the mistake of thinking that, Vafil Hachi, to teach us that they're Mutter. So it could well be that the Reisha is talking about Shnei Meluchim, and it's still Mutter. Says the Gemara, Tashnami Sefer the Sefer. There's a third case in that Reisha. The third case was, Am hayutam meliach v'tar tafel, if the kosher fish was not salted, and the non-kosher fish was salted, then it's asur. So what do we see from here?
only when it's Tami Meliach, the Tar Tafel, that's when it's Osir. Hashnei Meluchim, it may be Shari, it may be Mutter. Says the Gemara, that isn't the proof either. Because either Tani Reisha Tar Meliach or Tami Tafel, because the Braisa said the first case was when the kosher fish was salted and the non-kosher fish was not salted, that's when it's Mutter. Tani Nami Sefer Tar Meliach, Tar Tafel, to teach us the opposite case, but not that that case necessarily contains any chiddush, because it could well be that even if they're both salted, they're also awesome. And therefore, this price isn't a raya one way or another to our question. Simon Bisra de Marach Naskusa. Amishmul. En abasa yotzim de domon. Blood doesn't come out of the meat. Elmke molcha yofa yofa. And we're showing debate, what is the definition of yofa yofa? Some Rishonim explain that yofa yofa means that you have to put on a lot of salt. Others say that not the amount of salt, but it means every spot of the meat has to be salted. And another pshat is, and this is the accepted pshat, the halacha, the Rambam says, if one doesn't do this, then the salting isn't effective, that you have to put salt on both sides. Interestingly, in fact, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Samech Tes Sif Dalet says that you have to put salt on every spot of the meat, and you have to put it on both sides. But then, the Shulchan Aruch says, Avol b'dievet, afilo molch mitzad echad, even if you only salted it from one side, the Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter, because the Shulchan Aruch obviously understands what Shmuel means, that you have to put salt all over, but doesn't necessarily mean both sides. Says the Ramah, Yesh oisr mafilo b'dievet, there are those that say it's oisr even b'dievet, v'hochi nog. But the question is regarding which point is the Ramah addressing. Is the Ramah addressing the point that every drop of meat has to be, the entire side of meat has to be salted, and if you missed a spot, it's not acceptable even b'dievet? Or is the Ramah referring to that, what the Shulchan Aruch spoke about, both sides? And the Ramah holds that even with the Eved, you have to have both sides. Then the Kudus HaKesef says, the way to understand the Ramah is that the Ramah means that even with the Eved, if you didn't do both sides, the sorting is not an effective sorting. So a very nice fart. When there's a match made, when there's a shidduch made, there's a custom, many people say, that the zivik should be oily yofa yofa. Why do people say that? Because Shmuel said, the way we just explained according to the Ramban, that yofa yofa means both sides. The zivik, when is the shidduch considered a great shidduch? When oily yofa yofa, when both sides, both families, are satisfied with the shidduch. So again, I'm a Shmuel, ain't a bot, so yotzim de domai, elm came mocha yofa yofa. You have to do the salting properly, or medicha yofa yofa, and it has to then be rinsed very well. The Rishonim here too discuss what is the medicha yofa yofa mean. So the Ramban, along the same way he understands that whenever the Gemara uses the word yofa yofa means twice, here too he explains that first we know that we do the actual salting, and it's interesting, the Mefarshim point out that Shmuel in our Gemara doesn't address how long the meat has to sit in the salt. And there's a machloikas Rishonim about that. First of all, the Mefarshim say that even though Shmuel doesn't address it, certainly he agrees it has to sit in the salt. There's a machloikas how long. Some say it has to sit for an hour. That's our minig. Others say derech mil, which is anywhere from 18 to 24, 25 minutes. So again, the Ramban explains medicha yofa yofa means the first while it's still in the clean menukif, you should wash it, and afterwards you should wash it again when you put it into a regular vessel. The Rosh says the reason it's washed two times, the first washing is to take the blood off the meat, and then you wash it again
to take off that water that has blood on it, and that blood obviously is usur. Although there are other Rishonim that hold that the Smak holds this way, and the Beis Yosef says that the Rambam holds this way, that if you just wash it well once, it's fine. So again, Amr Shmuel, Ena Menichim Basi Mechalav, Ela Ga, Ena Basi Yosef, Dei Doma, El Mekei Molcha, Yofa Yofa, O Medicha Yofa Yofa. Itmar, continues the Gemara, Rav Huna Amr, Meleach U Mediach, one has to salt the meat and then rinse it. But Snisatana, Mediach, first you rinse it, and Meleach, and then you salt it, and Mediach. Machlaikis Rishonim, why does the meat have to be rinsed before you do the Melicha? Some Rishonim explain that the reason it has to be rinsed is to soften up the meat, that it should be able to absorb the salt to expel the dam. Other Rishonim explain that it has to be rinsed in order to wash off any dam that's on the meat. And other Rishonim explain that the reason it has to be washed off is because if you're going to salt the meat while it has blood on it, so that salt will cause that the blood that's on the surface of the meat will be absorbed into the meat, and that salt blood will never come out. And therefore, you have to rinse it first. And as the Paiskim say, what's the nafkamina between these pshatim? The nafkamina will be is if somebody began salting the meat without rinsing it first. If we say that the reason is just to wash off the blood or to soften it up, so what you should do is take off the salt and begin the process properly by first rinsing and then salting. But if we say that the concern is that if you salt it with blood on it, that salt will cause that the blood would actually go back into the meat, so then that meat can never be kashered again. V'loy pligi, says the Gemara, there's really, so we have a machlaik, so we have to rinse it first. Has says the Gemara, have v'loy pligi. If they were already rinsed by the butcher, there is no need to rinse it again. If it wasn't rinsed by the butcher, then before you begin salting the meat, you have to rinse it. The preacher says that there is an afkamina between if it was rinsed by the butcher or not. If it was rinsed by the butcher, so therefore, since he rinses it right after it's slaughtered, it doesn't have to be rinsed so well. But if you're rinsing it after you got the meat, and then it's already hotter, then you have to rinse it more thoroughly. Furthermore, the Rishonim who say that the reason of the rinsing is to soften the meat use this Gemara as a raya, because they ask, the butcher takes large cuts of meat. How come when you get that meat and you put it into smaller cuts, is there no concern that that meat now is cut again and there's blood on the place where you cut the meat into pieces? So everybody should agree that it should be salt, that it should be washed again. So they say from here to Raya that the entire purpose of the first rinsing is just to soften the meat. And since the butcher washed it right after it was slaughtered, it gets soft from his washing it, and there is no need to wash it again. Says the Gemara, Rav Dimi min Adar, Malach Lev and Milch Galinisa, Rav Dimi min Adar would salt it with thick salt, and Menapet Slay, and then he would shake off the salt. And here too there's a Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Rashi explains that the Gemara is coming to teach us you could use any type of salt, thick salt or thin salt. But what Rav Dimi is teaching us is that if you happen to have used thick salt, you have to shake off the salt from the meat. But when you use thin salt, there is no need for that. The Rambam, however, says what Rav Dimi was coming to teach us was that you specifically have to use thick salt, because thin salt doesn't, will just get absorbed into the meat and it won't expel the blood. The Ravid, learned that you could use thin salt or thick salt. The difference between thin salt or thick salt is that if you use thin salt, you have to wash off the meat twice. Once to get off the salt, and the second time to just wash it off. But if you use thick salt, so you could just shake off the salt, and you'll only have to wash the meat twice. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that one shouldn't use too thick of a salt or too thin of a salt. You should use something in between. However, the Ramah says that if one only has thin salt, then it's okay. Interesting also to point out that there's a famous Hilchos Gedolos who paskens that you could use sugar, and that sugar accomplishes the same thing as salt does. But the Divrei Chaim and Atshuva explains that the Hilchos Gedolos is not speaking about salting meat for the purpose that we're discussing of expelling the dam. He says sugar doesn't accomplish that. He says that the Hilchos Gedolos is referring to the halach in the Torah that we learned, that the Torah says Akol Kabarncha Takriv Melech. That's what our Lacha says, the Hilchos Gedolos is, that if you don't have salt to put on your carbon, you could put on sugar. But certainly when it comes to salting meat to expel dam, the only thing that works is salt, not sugar. Amar Mishra, she continues to Gemara, Ein machzikim dam b'nei ma'ayim. We don't assume that there's dam on the b'nei ma'ayim. What a dam b'nei ma'ayim? Tergma, akakash shomaya v'hadru dekanto. The rectum, the stomachs, we learned that the kosher animal has a number of stomachs, and the hadru dekanto of the large intestines. We have machlokes for shoyim, how to understand this Gemara. Rashi explains, the Ein machzikim dam b'nei ma'ayim means that we don't necessarily assume that there's blood on the B'nai Ma'ayim. But that doesn't mean that we don't have to salt the B'nai Ma'ayim. It only means that if we didn't salt the B'nai Ma'ayim, it's acceptable, but of course with Chathchila we should have salted. The Ramban disagrees. And the Ramban says, but the way to understand the Gemara, and that's why Rashi says the Gemara uses the Eimach Zikim, doesn't mean that we don't have to salt it. We don't have to assume that there's salt if we miss salting it. That there's dam if we miss salting it. However, the Ramban disagrees, and the Ramban holds what the Gemara is coming to teach us is we need not salt the B'nai Ma'ayim unless we see that they're red. If we see that they're red, then we have to be concerned that there is indeed dam. What would be an afkamina between the Ramban and Rashi is the discussion that Tosfos discusses, and that is, if are you allowed to salt together that the B'nai Ma'ayim together with the rest of the meat? Why? Because we need to be concerned that the rest of the meat has dam that's being expelled. So if the B'nai Ma'ayim are also busy expelling dam, so as we said at the beginning of our shir, something that's busy expelling dam won't absorb dam. But if we're going to learn like the Ramban, that the B'nai Ma'ayim don't have dam, and since they don't have dam, they don't expel dam, so maybe we have to be concerned that while the kosher meat next to the other meat next to it is expelling dam, it will absorb the dam. The Tosfos says we don't have to be concerned from that because dam isn't so quickly absorbed. It's only tzir that we discussed at the beginning of the shir that is more easily absorbed, that we have to be concerned. However, there are Rishonim that because of this concern say that if we're salting B'nai Ma'ayim, we should not salt them together with the rest of the meat. Says the Gemara further, Om Shmu, Ein Meniach Bas Meliach, we should only put the salted meat, Al Gaba Kli Menotav, in a keli that has hole, on as holes. Because as we learned, otherwise we have to be concerned that it will be reabsorbed. Rav Sheshes, says the Gemara, Malach Le Garma Garma, would wash them each, would salt them each piece at a time. Why would he salt them each piece at a time? Because he was concerned that the blood from one we go into the next. Says the Gemara, pray my tamaloi. Why did he not saw two pieces together? He's concerned that the dam is going to go from one piece of meat into the next. So says the Gemara, if that's his concern, chad nami. So even when you're salting one piece, why not be concerned? Parish mahai gisa bala hai gisa. That's going to go from one side of the meat to the other side of the meat. Eloshna. We're not concerned for that. For as we're learning, while it's busy expressing them, it's not going to absorb them. So just like we're not concerned by one piece of meat that's salted at one at a time, so too, we don't need to have to be concerned by two pieces of meat either. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Amr Shmuel Meshum Reb Chiya, Hashoyv Mefrakta Shebehema, Kayim Shetetze Nafsha, if after you shech the animal, you immediately break the neck, Hareza Makbedes Abosor, so by doing that, by breaking the neck, what that happens is that normally when you cut the throat, the blood rushes out, but by breaking the neck, the animal has no strength to groan and discharge that blood, and that causes two things. Number one, machbedes abasur, gadlus bris, it makes the meat heavier, because normally more blood would have come out of this animal, but now there's not so much blood coming out of the animal, so that means that meat will be heavier, because it's full of blood, mavliya dam bevarim, and also causes the blood to remain there. Sibayluhu. So they asked, Pechikamer, exactly what did Shmuel mean? Machbred es abosur, regardless of brief mishum dam mavliya dam bevarim, was Shmuel concerned only that it makes the blood, that makes the meat heavier? And therefore, only if you're selling that meat, there's a concern of geneva. Hal of the day, if you're keeping the meat for yourself, shapi dami, or demal of the day, nami osur. Even for yourself, it's osur, because it didn't give a chance for the blood to go out, and since it didn't have give it a chance for the blood to go out, then that blood won't come out through the regular malicha process. Teku, and the Gemara remains with a teku. Says the Mishnah, Hamalas oifim agvina al-shulchan, if somebody puts poultry together with dairy on a table, and oiva b'leisa say, he's not oiva alav. As we're going to learn, the Gemara says, ha'oichoi, it seems to be teaching us oiva b'leisa say, shmamino, shouldn't this be a raya to the question that we discussed at the beginning of the perek, is the isra basa b'chalav apply by basa oif as well? And our Mishnah would only, the fact that it only speaks about putting them on the same table, but doesn't speak about them eating together, isn't that an indication that shmamino basa oif b'chalav, the eating together is the raisa? Answers the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah, hamalos oifim gvina al shulchan, if you put poultry and dairy together on the table, anybody with a loisa, so you can never come to a laugh, because it's only basar oif, and as we're going to learn right now in the Mishnah, the Mishnah that we just finished learning, obviously is of the opinion that there is no iser deraisa by basar oif b'chalv. The Torah says, loisavashal gadi b'chalev imoy, three times. One time to teach us the iser of cooking, one to teach us the Isser of eating meat and milk that will cook together, and one is to teach us the Isser of Hanor, that you're not allowed to have any Hanor from it. Says the Mishnah, Bas Behem Tahir B'chalei Behem Tahir, the Basar of a kosher animal with the milk of a kosher animal, Asul Vasho, Basar B'Hanor, may not be cooked together nor eaten together. The Mefarshim asks, why doesn't our Mishnah mention, as we just spoke about, the Isser of Chila? So the Rosh Yosef answers that, of course, if you're not allowed to have hanor, then you're certainly not allowed to eat it. Another teretz that the Mefarshim suggest is the Tana is only coming to teach us the difference between basa v'cholov of a kosher animal versus a non-kosher animal, and that's why only bishul hanor mentioned. Achila is also in all situations a basa b'chalav. So again, basa b'hema tahir, b'chalav b'hema tamayra, asa levashal, Bosa Bahana. Bos Behemet Tahira, Bechalei Behemet Tmeya. If the meat is from a kosher animal, but the milk is from a non kosher animal, or Bosa Behemet Tmeya, Bechalei Behemet Tahira, Mutl Vasho, or Mut Bahana. It's mutter to cook or to eat. Because the Tanakama holds that the din of Bosa Bechalov, this way Rashi learns that the Tanakama holds that the Issa Bosa Bechalov is limited to kosher animals and kosher milk. But according to the Tanakama, again, the way most Rishonim learn, Chayva Oif, kosher chaya and kosher oif have the same halacha as basar. There are Rishonim that suggest that the Tanakhama doesn't disagree with Rabbi Akiva in this concept of chaya v'oif. But most Rishonim learn that the Tanakhama says not only basar behema, tahir has a din of basar b'cholav, but so to chaya tahira and oif tahira. Kivayma, chaya v'oif en met tahira. Kiva's opinion is the chaya v'oif aren't osma deraisa. They are all excluded according to the Kiva. Where is a din of nevela? Oif. So therefore, oif that has a din of nevela, yochli yosl vash b'chalav. Tamla b'chalav imoy. Yotz oif shalani chalav ein. The way Rav Yossi learns, Chaya is subject midaraisa to the din of Bosa B'cholov, and Oif is not subject to Bosa B'cholov even midrabon. So as Rishonim point out, the machloikas between Rav Akiva and Rav Yossi Aglili is that according to Rav Yossi Aglili, Chaya is daraisa, and Oif is not even osa midrabonon, whereas according to Rav Akiva, Chaya and Oif are both osa midrabonon, and not osa midaraisa. Ask the Gemara, Menani Mili, how do we know that when the Torah says lo sevashel gadi b'chalev imoy, it speaks about other animals, not just the gadi? Amr Reb Elozer, Amr Kra, the pasuk says v'yishlach Yehuda es gadiyei ha'izin. Yehuda sent to Tamar the gadi izin to teach us. Can the Torah, by specifying here Gdi Izim, is teaching us here it means Gdi Izim. Hakam Makam Shneim Gdi. Wherever the Torah just uses the words Gdi Stam, I feel a part of Arach L'mashma. It doesn't specifically mean only Gdi. It means even can mean a cow or a rochel. Ask the Gemara. But why don't we say that just like when the Torah used the word Gdi Izim by Yehuda, it means Gdi Izim, it should be so everywhere else also. So the Rishonim asked that we have a rule that Ein Adam Don Gzeir Shavu Ma'atzma. Somebody can't learn Gzeir Shavu by himself. So how does the Gemara want to learn Gzeir Shavu without a Kabbalah? So I saw two truths. One truth is that the Gemara doesn't mean that it should be learned through Gzeir Shavu. The Gemara means that it should be learned through Binyan Av. That's one teretz. Another teretz that I saw is that the Gemara means that the Gemara knew there was a Gzeir Shavu Gdi Gdi. The Gemara just did not know where to apply that Gzeir Shavu. And the Gemara's question is, maybe that's what this Gzeir Shavu comes to teach us. Answer, the Gemara Ksiv Krakuna. There's another pasuk. The pasuk says, "This Iris Gdi Izim." This is referring to Rivka covering Yaakov with Oyrus Gdei Izim, teaches Kan Gdei Izim, Hakomokim Shinema Gdei Stam, I feel a power Rach Vamashma. Ask the Gemara again, the Leilif Mina, why don't we learn from here that whenever Torah uses the word Gdi, it means specifically goat? Answer the Gemara, Avle Shnei Ksum Bon Kechot, because here we have a situation that two Psukim are teaching us the same thing. Vakosh Shnei Ksum Bon Kechot Eimalam. A cloud throughout Shas, that the Torah has two Psukim to teach us something, why did the Torah have to say it twice? The Torah should have said it once, and we should learn from that one source to everywhere else in the Torah. The fact that the Torah says it twice, what the Torah is teaching us is, only where we say it is so the halacha, nowhere else. Ask the Gemara, Hanich l'mandom ein melamdim, according to the mandom that indeed holds, Shnei k'sum ha'bon kech l'ein melamdim, we understand. Ela mandamim melamdin. According to mandamim, that says even if you have two psukim that teach the same thing, Michael Maimer, we could still learn from there. So why can't we learn from these two places? The way the Torah says, gedi izin, gedi means specifically gedi. Answers the Gemara, trei mi utiksivi. Izin, the Torah says ha izin. The Torah, by adding the ha izin, says the here means specifically goats. Anywhere else, not. Ask Tysus. So why did the Torah have to say ha izin twice? The Torah could have just said izin ha izin once, and we would learn it. So Tysus answers, the Ritva answers, that if we want to learn this with a concept of shnei ksuv mabon keecher em elamdim, the two psukim have to work identically the same. And that means both psukim have to be gedi ha izin. Amishmu, gedi, when the Torah says gedi, the Torah says the word gedi three times, the Rabbi says a chalif, to include that chalif, there's also isabas b'chalif, gedi le Rabbi says a mesa, to teach us the animal died without shchita, that's a nevela, there is also an isabas b'chalif, gedi, the Rabbi says a shlil, the meat of a fetus found inside a slaughtered animal is also subject to basa b'chalav. Gedi, but on the other hand, the Torah says the gedi lahaitzi is a dam, the dam isn't in the category of basa b'chalav. Gedi lahaitzi is a shilya, the placenta is not considered meat as far as basa b'chalav. Gedi lahaitzi is a tmeya, that non-kosher animals are not subject to the din of basa b'chalav. B'chalev imoy, the way b'chalev zachar, that means if you have a male animal that has milk, that the halach is that milk is osur, is not osur midaraisa, although most Rishonim explain that it isn't, it's not osur midaraisa, but it is osur midarabonah. B'chalev imoy v'loy b'chalev shchuta, the milk of a slaughtered animal that's found inside is not osur. There's an interesting machloikas achronim. What is the din of the milk of a bet pekuah? We discussed earlier in the Masechta extensively if a baby is found alive in its mother's womb, that you don't have to shecht it, it's mutter because of the shechita of the mother. What will be the halacha regarding the milk of that bet pekuah, of that milk? Since it's considered shochet, so it'll be considered Chalav Shchuta that we just learned, there is no din of basa b'chalav. Or maybe only by dead animal is there a halacha of Chalav Shchuta. But this ben pekuah, as we just explained, is a live animal. There will still be a din of Chalav Shchuta. There will still be a din of basa b'chalav. B'chalav imay v'loy b'chalav tmeya, not the milk of a non-kosher animal. Ask the Gemara, the Torah writes the word gedi three times, v'nan shita dashinan, and we've learned six halakas from the Torah saying it only three times. Answers the Gemara, kasav Shmuel, it is the opinion of Shmuel that is a chalal issa, and therefore the din that bas b'chalav applies by a nevela or by chalif, mechad kronafki, we can learn from one pasuk. Dam nami, when we speak about dam, lav gedihi, it's not considered gedi. Vishilya nami, and when we speak about the shilya, pirsha be'alma, who is just an extraneous matter, and since it's an extraneous matter, there's no reason to mention it. Pashle trei, so we have two mentions of gedi left over. Chad l'rabbis is a shlil, one comes to teach us that the fetus is osur, chad l'mutu behem tmeya, and one comes to exclude a behem tmeya. Ask the Gemara, is it indeed the opinion of the Sav Shmuel? Is a chalal iser? Rama Shmuel Mishum Rebbe Lezer Menayim Lekayim Tomei Shachal Truma Tomei Yishen Remisa. How do we know that if a Kayin who's already Tomei, the Torah says that a Kayin who eats Truma Tomei is Chayiv Misa. How do we know that a Kayin that's Tomei, to eat Truma which is already Tomei, that there is no chiv misa? Shnemer, because the pasuk says, "O meisa ba ki chalalua." Prat lazu, Shemachalalas Vaymedes. So we see that Ein Issachal Isser. Answers the Gemara, Ibais Eima, Baalma Issachal Isser. Normally we hold Issachal Isser. Shani Hossam, this there is different. The Meat Krab, because the Torah says, Umaisabah, to teach us specifically this halacha. Or you can learn, says the Gemara, the other way. Ibai Sayyid Baalma Kosav Shmuel, Ein Issachal Isser. Shani Hossam, here it's different. The Rabbi Rachman and Gedi to teach us that Issachal Isser. Ribai Seim Ahadu Dei. His own opinion is that Issachal Isser. Had the Rabbi, his Rabbi Rav Elazar, even though as Rishonim point out, Shmuel never saw Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar Hurkanus was a Tana, and Shmuel learned by Rav, but he means that he learned from the opinion of Rav Elazar. Ask the Gemara. Boim Nei Rav Avduvi Bar Ami Merav. Hamvash b'chel gedish lo yiniku ma'u. Why is the halacha if somebody cooks in the milk of a mother that never nursed? Amalei midas b'chel shmul meima b'chelav imay b'chelav zocher, that Shmuel needed to exclude the chelav of a zocher. That's to teach us zocher only a male who delas l'chelav but will never be a mother. That's when there is no din abos b'chol deraisa. Avol hay kivin b'gav b'chelav, even though right now it never nursed, but it will eventually nurse, there is an issa deraisa, a bosa b'chol.